Welcome to Going Out of Your Mind on Vivid Life Radio. On each show, you'll be taken on a journey out of your mind and into your heart and inner wisdom by brilliant and inspiring guests who will deeply enrich your life. And here's your hosts, award-winning authors, meditation and mindfulness teachers, Ed and Deb Shapiro.
So welcome to Going Out of Your Mind. This is Deb Shapiro.
And Ed Shapiro.
And today we have a real treat in store for you. Our guest today is one of our most favorite beings on this planet, without a doubt. And her name is Shawn Korn, and she is one of the country's probably best-known yoga teachers, but she's more than just a yoga teacher.
No, it's not more than. She is exactly what a yoga teacher is about.
I.e., she's also a great activist.
And that's the point of yoga.
Because she's very articulate in speaking up for a number of different causes, starting with youth AIDS and ending up with some of the most difficult to enter parts of the world dealing with AIDS and prostitution and poverty and numerous other causes that I'm going to let her talk about because she knows a lot more about it than I do. But she's probably one of the most inspiring speakers and activists that we know. So I want to welcome you to the show, Shawn.
Thank you so much. I love both of you, and I'm always happy to talk with you. It makes me very happy.
Yes,
I know. It does the same. But I really do want to add to one thing that I feel that you emanate and are able to do what you do, and that's love. The beauty of it is, even mentioning your name, you mentioned Shawn, and everybody's heart feels warm and caring. So that's,
I love that.
Important.
I hope that's true. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
So, Shawn, I know that as yoga became a part of your life way back, you also began to realize that it wasn't just about doing yoga. It was about how yoga affected your life and in turn how your life affected other people. So, yes, tell us about that.
You know, it was very clear to me from the very beginning. I mean, the tools of yoga changed the way that I saw myself, my family, my relationship to the planet. But I also was in an unusual position in that when I first became a yoga teacher, which is in 1994, I got a lot of opportunities that a lot of other yoga teachers were not getting. And it wasn't because I was a talented yoga teacher. I mean, anyone coming out of a teacher's training is not talented. It's a skill that you have to develop over time. And yet, all my contemporaries weren't getting the opportunities that were afforded to me so effortlessly, meaning the media, going on TV, the Today Show, getting covers of books and magazines, things like that. And I was very well aware of the reason why. And like I said, it wasn't talent. It was because of the fact that I was white, thin, ethnically neutral, meaning Eurocentric, and that there was something about the way that I looked that the mainstream athletic or workout or yoga world could capitalize on.
And don't tell me it was your hair.
Hair, you name it. It was the whole thing.
She's got gorgeous hair, folks.
But it was privilege. Like, I was really well aware that I was standing in a position of privilege, not based on anything else other than what very often is a norm within our society that is celebrated. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit because as someone who was very involved in social justice, I was aware I was perpetuating certain ideals that separated people, gender, society, and that my participation was going to continue these efforts to create that separation. And there was a lot of conflict in it for me, yet at the same time I recognized there was, with power, was going to be a platform, and within that platform, I could take a responsibility for the privileges that I have and use them, I hope, effectively. So it really comes down to that, is recognizing that when you have access, when you have privilege, you have to look at the fact that, not everybody, but for myself, that there is a responsibility that goes along with that, and I wanted to use that platform in a way that I hope would aid and help others and also help me to make sense of the opportunities that I was getting that I didn't necessarily deserve. And the only reason I was getting them was because of these norms and because of this privilege.
I don't agree with you completely, because one of the things that comes through you that really gives you the X factor is that you have this toughness. There's something that comes through that someone could, so beautiful as you, so loving, so caring, something, and yet you're like tough shit. It's like no one's going to mess with you. It's like you want to know something. You're not like, hi, do my yoga class. You have this, you know, it's sort of like you're not afraid of you, but you don't, you have something, you give people confidence in themselves.
Well, that wouldn't that be wonderful? I love that. I hope so. I was raised in a very particular way. I come from a very blue-collar background. It's a very no-nonsense kind of environment, a lot of very hardworking people, and also from a community that helps other people. And when there's conflict, even if you had nothing in the community I grew up in, you help someone else out. It was just a given, and it wasn't something that was really motivated from the church. It was very community-driven. So it's a sensibility that I was raised with. And, you know, any toughness I have, you know, probably comes from
trauma. It's like a sexy toughness. It's not a toughness that gives you, like, a masculine thing. It's a toughness meaning you're strong enough to deal with the world, and you can do it through yoga, and I can help you.
Yeah, well, it's yoga helped me, and I also feel the urgency for it. You know, I'm very well aware in the yoga community of a really sense of hypocrisy. You know, we throw around this languaging of we are one, and of course, at its essence, I believe this with all my heart. Of course, we're all connected. Everything is interdependent, and love is the essence that binds all of us. And it's also not true. There are differences. Things like racism, sexism, ableism, homophobia, transphobia, ageism, all of this exists today. And if we're not actively looking at the ways in which we in our own life create separation, then we're complicit in perpetuating this separation. So when I hear yogis, you know, pronounce, we are one, without really looking at oppression and the impact that it has had on maybe our own life, but certainly many of our brothers and sisters, the yoga to me is not actualized. It's not real. It's mythological. It's magical thinking. But the real yoga happens when we participate, when we hold ourselves accountable, when we take responsibility, when we recognize our own bias, our own prejudices, without self-beat, just recognizing that oppression exists. And it exists within all of us because there's historical and ancestral trauma and limited belief systems and languaging that's embedded in ourselves, and it comes out in insidious ways. So if we really want to change the planet, there's only one true revolution, and it begins from within. And the urgency I feel comes from deep within myself, because I cannot stand hypocrisy in me. I cannot stand when I know I'm out of integrity. And so when I hear myself say certain words, yet I look around the world and the evidence is the opposite of what I'm saying, part of me just feels like, well, then I have to do something to change it. And I hope it can inspire other people to recognize that we all have way more power. Many of us, not all of us, but many of us
have
way more power.
We have to continue this. We want to do a break.
Yeah, Sean, what you are bringing up
is such
an important subject. Mm-hmm. Folks, we're going to come back after the break to talk about courage and what you can do in the world to help in the way that Sean is. So believe me, she's a master of this, of activism.
And it's so inspiring because
change.
She lives, she walks the talk. So let's have a break.
So we're going to have a break, then we'll be back with Sean Korn. This is Going Out of Your Mind with Ed and Deb Shapiro.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again.
Celebrate!
Are you ready to do something completely amazing for yourself? Spend a weekend with some of the world's most renowned and powerful spiritual teachers. Nourish your soul, enrich your life, honor your spirit, and celebrate you at a Celebrate Your Life conference. Attend powerful, life-changing workshops that will bring you more love, healing, and transformation than you can possibly imagine. Register now. Visit www.celebrateyourlife.org. That's www.celebrateyourlife.org.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
So welcome back to Going Out of Your Mind with our wonderful guest, Sean Korn. And just before the break, we started talking about being able to do something in the world to bring change, to really be active. I know that Sean has, through her different programs, raised over $3.5 million, I'm sure it's more by now, for programs worldwide in some of the countries like Cambodia, South Africa, Uganda, Haiti, and India, to give people, you know, something back into their lives that they can use to help beat poverty. And it provides the opportunity for other people to be able to, you know, other yoga people raise the money and go with her to help in those third world countries.
And it's also giving hope to people, making people who have nothing and are suffering that someone really cares. And I know Sean makes people do that.
So, Sean, I just really wanted to ask you before we get into how people can other in their own lives can help. Where did you find that courage within yourself to be able to stand up and make a difference?
I think it came from a sense of now what. That was really an inquiry that I was in back in the day when I first started doing yoga. I think the first part of my experience was more about my healing, my happiness, my health, my grief, and empowering myself to continue to grow and mature. And at one point, there was a shift from the individual into the collective. When I started to cultivate tools to help me to navigate my big feelings, reinterpret my experiences through a more empowered lens, and of course, forgiveness, there was a sense of, well, now what do I do with this light, this joy, these tools? It felt incomplete for it to remain on my mat. It also felt incomplete just to extend it to my family and the people that impacted me directly. The more self-confidence I developed, the more I began to trust my intuition, and what my intuition told me was that we are here on this planet for too short of a time to take a second of this experience for granted. And the only thing that gets in our way as being fully empowered human beings is our limited belief and our self-confidence. So how dare I not do the inner work that I have access to, these tools, and as I mature and grow, how dare I not reach and engage and participate and perhaps as a result of that, help to create a happier, healthier world for other people, but do it from the inside out, which is, of course, going to be way more sustainable. So my courage comes not from my rage, but my courage was cultivated by empathy. And first, empathy for my own journey, the complexity of the human experience. It's rough. And the more that I was able to access these tools, I really felt the privilege, once again, it comes down to privilege, that we get to do this work, that we get access to tools, that we have access to resources, social services, clean air, water, food. And when I look around the world and I see that disparity, that I see that there are so many more people who will never get to do yoga or to do the deeper inquiry work because of systemic oppression, because of political oppression. They would literally be killed or jailed to do the things that we do every single day, you know, sitting on
but
the mat.
But how do you get your strength? How do you get your strength? Like, you have this inner strength, this conviction, and when you're with people, they hear you, they feel you, you inspire them. But at the same time, how does this happen in yoga? Do you get it through breathing? I know that's very important. What happens when your mind says, Sean, you're a moron, you're doing this. Why are you doing this? Who are you helping? You really think you're helping somebody? Tomorrow they'll die. They won't be able to eat tomorrow, so you fed them today.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. What I would do, and that does come up for me all the time, but and moron is the word, is actually that comes through for me. And it's trauma, and trauma lives in the body. These limited beliefs are old tapes that, coming from trauma, is anything that overwhelms our capacity to cope and leaves us feeling helpless or hopeless. It's an energy, and these vibrations, when they are not being processed, these experiences, they stay embedded in ourselves and, of course, become the tension that we feel. That tension is addictive. It puts us in a place where we feel as if we're in control, but actually it's not. It's just creating more separation. And by practicing yoga, for me, I get on the mat, I move, I breathe, I release the tension so that I can feel. And what comes up for me, I can feel the inadequacy, I can feel the shame, I can feel my guilt, and be present to it and not suppress it. Discharge that energy so then I can pull up the essence of who I am, not my fear, not my grief, not my guilt, but my love, and let that love be the courageous essence that motivates my choices. So yoga, meditation, prayer, sleep, diet, and therapy. Those are my...
And how about being a little nasty at times?
I need to be nastier, actually. I need to work on that.
We all want to be so good. At the same time, won't God love us if we're bad?
I got nothing. I really need to work on this. I'm moving towards 50. I need some scandal and some inappropriate behavior in my life.
There you go.
Find a guru and make love to him.
Will he cuddle me afterwards?
Well, only if he's lucky.
So what you've been saying just reminded me of a report we just received this morning from a friend of ours who's gone to one of the islands in Greece to help with the Syrian refugees. And she's only been there a few hours when she wrote this report, and she said within those few hours she had thrown out her vow not to use plastic bottles, realizing that the ability not to use plastic bottles was a pure privilege.
Yes.
And in that moment, all they needed was plastic bottles full of water.
And that's Judith Ansara, Robbie Gass's wife.
Yeah.
So she's
doing
it.
She had said, "I'm sorry," more times in the first 4 hours than she had in her whole life before.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly having to say, "I'm sorry we don't have the clothing. I'm sorry we don't have the food. I'm sorry we don't have the toilets," et cetera, et cetera. And it brings me back to that place of privilege where I'm sure a lot of our listeners are coming from, in realizing that they have so much more than they probably need. And yet, how do they share what they have? How do you know, it's not just a matter of giving up plastic bottles. It's not just a matter of going to Greece or, as you do, go around the world to places in need.
Cambodia.
Yeah. How do they bring that into their own life?
Start small in that if people really want to get engaged, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, because it often can feel very overwhelming, meaning like, well, what can I do? It's from environmental justice to animal rights to sex trafficking. It just feels like it's overwhelming, the amount of crisis that exists in our world today, and people can shut down as a result of that. It's best for someone to look at what breaks their heart, what's important to them. Let's say it is animal rights. Then maybe perhaps they can commit to finding an organization in their local area, go to them and find out what their needs are. Let's say it's a shelter. What do they need? And depending on what's appropriate for where they are in their life, maybe they stuff envelopes, maybe they contribute money, maybe they post stuff on Facebook, just raising awareness and advocacy. There are little first steps that everyone can take that are very, very helpful, and no one should ever minimize any efforts. Sometimes
so
you look
saying
at effort.
That, saying that, it would be very nice if someone saw a plastic bottle on the street, or people see dirty things in the streets that are, they're not dirty or but like a bottle or something they can throw in the garbage. Wherever you walk, you just pick up one little thing a day or something.
Yep.
Give a dollar to a person on the street who doesn't have food.
Yep.
Whatever it is, let's think of others, and that's the only happiness you really have, because when you think of yourself, then there's always strings attached. When you think of others, it's opening your heart and really becoming a full human being, and that's what Sean does. Sean is a winner.
Oh, thank you. But I'm really committed to the idea that, especially in the yoga community and the mindfulness communities, it's a $350 billion industry. There are millions, 25 million people practicing yoga. This is an altruistic community, a community of heart, of education, of access. And again, for the most part, I'm generalizing, but for the most part, I get overwhelmed when I think, what could happen if we worked together and aggregated our time, our energy, our money, even our prayers? Change would be inevitable. And I think that the word that goes on in my head a lot is participation. We have to participate in some way. We have to activate, be a part of something, not just bear witness, but to actually reach when others might reject or withdraw. And that really takes courage, because it means you have to be accountable, not only for your own experience, your own feelings, your own needs, wants, and desires, but to actually look at another soul and recognize that every soul on this planet deserves equal access to resources that include respect and dignity. And so if we can contribute in some way to creating that for an other, then perhaps we bridge the gap between us and them and really contribute to yoga, which is wholeness, integration. So that's where I stand with it, and I always want to encourage people to look at themselves and ask themselves, now what? Now what can I do?
And within what Sean is saying, what you're saying is very important, is that people don't have to be perfect. Sean's not perfect. Perfect. We always look at yoga and stuff as perfect. Perfect means being perfectly yourself. So if you're an asshole, you're an asshole, but you're aware of it. That's the difference. Be aware of all who you are, and don't put yourself down. That's what Sean is teaching us. She's helping us understand, and the way to do it by helping others, we don't get caught up in our own monkey mind where we think, oh, I'm terrible, I can't do it, look what Sean's doing, I can never do what Sean's doing. You know, pick up something from the street. Do whatever you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Do your best and leave the rest.
Yeah, I've made a lot of mistakes, which I've been very, very open about over the years, just because I didn't know. And each of those mistakes became opportunities that really helped me to mature and understand better how to relate to people, work with people, to recognize even my own ignorance and, once again, my privilege. You know, there's a lot of things I didn't know because I don't have to. You know, it's in my world, my culture, I don't have to. And now I've realized that. And by not knowing means I'm also complicit. And so I've had to dig deep to really look at, what are my privileges? What do I take for granted every day? I can walk down the street with my partner. We can kiss and hug on the streets, and no one's going to bully us or pick on us or kill us because we fit into that norm. But there are a lot of people who don't have that experience. I can walk into a store and not worry about the security guard following me because they think I'm going to shoplift. But there are so many people who don't have that privilege because perhaps the color of their skin or their socioeconomic status. And that's the oneness part that we have to really keep in check, because there are differences that exist. And because I fit into a norm, I haven't had to really look at that. But if I want to contribute to creating change, I better look at that, because that's what an ally is. And the yoga community needs to be in allyship. That means we need to listen and look and pay attention to the world around us and not impose our experience on all these different cultures. But to really
To realize this wonderful little thing that says, what's the difference between a madman and a wise man? The wise man knows he's mad.
I love that.
The madman has no idea, and that's the important difference.
I want that on my gravestone. That's brilliant.
Sean, this has been exquisite. What I want to know is,
people
reach you at SeanCorn.com, right?
Mm-hmm, SeanCorn.com. Or if they really want to get involved and start to just expand their capacity to get involved, go to offthematintotheworld.org. We have a lot of trainings that bridge the gap between yoga, transformational work, and social justice. We have a lot of online trainings with a sliding scale to make it accessible. We're really hosting a lot of different kinds of faculty who are doing workshops and trainings in things from youth justice to yoga and 12-step recovery to yoga and disordered eating, really trying to focus on the different crises that exist and create space for people to plug in to the things that interest them or have impacted them personally.
So how many lifetimes do you promise people to get this information?
I'm sorry, how many lifetimes?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm hoping my next lifetime is me sitting on the beach somewhere getting a mani-pedi.
Go to Off the Mat Into the World. Remember, when you're doing that, it's all one word.
Yes.
No spaces. offthematintotheworld.org.
Mm-hmm.
And all of Sean's information is there, the programs they're doing, the trainings, the ways you can help.
And it's also on Vivid Life.
.me.
You can reach Sean and Ed and Deb at vividlife.me, and you could reach Ed and Deb at
edandebshapiro.com. But on Off the Mat Into the World, I'm just looking at it myself here, and there's a beautiful spot where you can join the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So get involved. See what else you can do to help people. See what you can do locally, not just have to talk in this big global way, but we're all involved locally as well. So get off the mat and into the world.
And then that's a real joy. The happiness, you will never believe how good it is.
Next week, we're going to be talking with the wonderful Byron Katie of The Work, and we'll be talking again about courage and the ability to change and how we can integrate that into our life.
And Byron Katie and Sean Korn are two, they're sisters from a past life.
Thank you, Sean, so much.
Thank you both. I absolutely
adore
you. Yes, and
always remember, the only thing you have to know in yoga is to have a sense of humor. What did you just say, sweetie?
That I love you both, and it's always a privilege to be able to talk with you. You're just
amazing.
Well,
it's a blessing.
Thank you.
We love you.
Love you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
We all need to go out of our mind at least once a day. By going out of your mind, you will quickly come to your senses. So thanks for going out of your mind with Ed and Deb. Be sure to join them next time. Go to vividlife.me for their up-and-coming shows and to listen to their archives on demand.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.